Thank you, Jesus. His voice is the voice we need to hear. Glory to God. So happy to see you all tonight. Let us go before the Lord in prayer as we begin our presentation for this evening. Dear Father in heaven, we're thankful to you. Thank you for loving your grace. Thank you for the power of your word. Thank you, Lord, that you continue to speak to us. Your voice never stops. You never cease calling, drawing us to yourself. We're grateful, Lord, and we ask tonight that your voice would be heard, each one of us, individually, and all of us collectively, would hear your call. Speak to our hearts, Lord, and cause us to, by your holy and powerful word, to be changed. We have nothing, Lord, to give you except ourselves. And we come before you, Lord, in our broken condition, saying, here we are. Take us as we are. Make us and mold us in what you want us to be by the great power of your Spirit and your life. Thank you, Father, for your word, and that you are going to do, according to your word, exceedingly and abundantly above everything that we can ask for. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The subject tonight is God is good. I think that's a really valid question. Frequently, when there is a natural disaster or a catastrophe, it's commonly called an act of God. Some insurance carriers, in fact, will not pay or cover those things that they call acts of God. And many people blame God for the difficulties that are going on in their lives and in the world. Quite frequently, you'll hear the statements, something like, God, why are you doing this to me? Why are you causing all this pain in my life? Well, there is someone on this planet that's responsible for all the suffering that's going on here, but it's not God. Someone's responsible, but God's not responsible. So we're going to take a look at what the Bible has to say tonight about the great battle that's going on between good and evil, between right and wrong, and all the other forces that would be resistances to things that we know to be true. So we have this struggle going on in this planet between true and false, good and evil, right and wrong, and the struggle is going on. So we need to know from the Bible what this is all about. In the Bible, Jesus tells a story about a farmer who goes out to sow seed in the field. This farmer goes out and sows seed. Now, as Jesus is telling this story, his disciples come to him, and they want to know what is the meaning of this. Because as he sowed the seed, not only did good seed come up, which is what he sowed, but along with the good seed, there came these weeds. The King James Version called them tares. Well, tares are nothing but weeds. So he sowed good seed, but when the ground is producing the crop, you have not only the good seed, but you have the weeds along with them. So Jesus' disciple asked him, why is this? If you're good, if all you put out there was good, why is all this evil in there? So, Jesus gave them this answer, Matthew chapter 13 and verse 37. If you're using our seminar Bible tonight, which I invite you to use, they're in the pews. I was looking for one for, oh, you got one. You have a seminar Bible? All right. No, it's that one. If you're using the seminar Bible, the only reason I'm belaboring this is that I'm going to give you the page numbers, which makes it easier for you to find them. So on page 962 in the seminar Bible, Matthew, you'll find Matthew chapter 13 and verse 37. Hallelujah. I married a man off tonight to his mother. Okay, we'll explain that one. Praise the Lord. It was just a slip of the tongue. All right. Matthew 13 and verse 37. This is what it says. He answered and said unto them, talking about now the wheat and the tares, or the parable of the sower sowing the good seed. He answered and said, he that sows the good seed is the who? Son of Man. He says, the field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are who? The children of the wicked one. He says, the enemy that sowed them is who? All right. Now, he sowed good seeds. The only expected good seeds to come up, because this is what he said. But as he sees his crop growing, he not only sees the good seed, but he sees weeds or tares among the good seed. Now he's telling us where they came from. He says the enemy who sows them is the devil. So where does the bad come from? The farmer didn't sow the weeds. He sowed nothing bad. He had no weeds in the bad. He only sowed good. But now we have an enemy who has gone along after that farmer has sowed his good seed. And so his seed grows up. He says, the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the kings. Now, while God is trying to be loving and kind to everybody, he's trying to show his love to every person in the world. There is an enemy also who is doing everything that he can to undermine the goodness of God. He is sowing in God's field because he loves all of those things that are contrary to God's nature. The book of Revelation tells us how this all begins. And tonight we're going to take a look at the real truth about what happened to the heaven that caused so much down here on earth. Tonight we're going to discover the origin of evil. Turn with me now in your Bible to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7. That would be page 1226 in your seminar Bible. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. It says, and there was war where? Now, this is the first war that we know about in the book of the Bible. Then in the first year, it occurred in heaven, if you have a reason. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels. And for their life, neither was their place, was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that is, something called the devil. And Satan, and the devil of the years, and the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast where? To the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. Now, notice how this dragon or the devil is introduced in verse 3. It says, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns, and seven crowns upon his head. And he carried through the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast him to the earth. So you see that one third of the kingdom of heaven followed the devil as he was rebelling against God. And in the Old Testament, the devil is described as a king of power. I want you to turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 28, and we're going to read these passages that describe this people.
Thank you. They call it to be a person who has everything that they need, everything that you can consider to be needed. Pride calls them to be needed. Pride calls them to be needed to be the life is missing to you. Pride will actually draw you to be needed. You start turning back the road, you get to the root cause of some of these things, and you see that it's started in the pride, and you're the person to be trusting the depression of those things. All the time you ask me, the thought is the thought of you, Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, he says, how have you fallen from the heavens, O shining star, son of the morning? How have you cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will go up to the heavens, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will also sit on the mountain of the congregation in the sides of the north. Can you hear the idea? I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Then he goes on to say, I will go up above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the mountains. So you see, Lucifer, because of his pride, began to spread in heaven this discontent among the other angels in heaven. And this discontent is so strong that the Bible tells us that a whole bunch of angels in heaven followed him. Now, this is an incredibly persuasive, deceptive being. Think about it. If a third of the angels who are living in heaven, who are seeing God face to face, who are every day interacting around the throne of God, if a third of those beings who have never had faith or never seen transition, if a third of them could be defeated by this one people, how much do you think they can do to that person? Powerfully deceptive. Deception that is so strong that many of you can sit in this community. So, the next obvious question that people could ask is whether if Lucifer was at that, spreading discontent in heaven, is recruiting angels right in the God's name, why doesn't God just wipe them out right there on the street? Just smack them out, one more. Just kill them, and it's all over with. That would have been a good choice in most of our lives, right? And God could have eliminated these things. He could have knocked them out, so to speak, to use it directly in this question. But then, all of the rest of creation, everybody else in the universe, would have then been forced to follow God and obey Him. He would have had no more allegiance. God would have become a no more allegiance after that act of destroying his and his angels than any clear victory that has been made. And there is no love in that kind of relationship. And the reality is, God is a God of love. You can only be happy in a love relationship. Do you not believe that God loves Lucifer? Do you not believe that He loves all of those people? Do you not believe that He probably spent so much time trying to talk them out of their lives? But they refuse to do it. And God, through His even if it and his perfect way, or to follow the devil, like all that Satan did, or hope that heaven did, and follow him in his satanic deceptive government. So God gave them that choice in this truth. That's his way of being true. God allowed the church to do this. Lord of me. They could freely choose to obey God, or they could freely choose to follow the enemy. Now, we can choose to live. So why was Satan bound to this woman? Why? You know why? Because he hated her. He hated her. He said he sinned about it over him. He sinned about it in time. He hated her. And guess what? He takes everything to the name of the name of the Lord. And we will try any and everything to bring us into bondage, to bring us into sickness, and to bring us into death. The fact is that Satan is the sinister force behind every disease, every suffering, every heartache, every pain, and death itself. He is the one that he is. The first chapter of Job, the same God who made himself before our God and Satan shows up to and soon we have to face it and show up. And this is a wonderful story in some respects, but some other respects, it's not. But it shows us some principles and some things that I never told in our third chapter, the number verse 6, that is invited to one of your similar Bibles. It says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came along among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, where'd you come from? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and walking up and down in it. Now you can readily see that Satan has created over Adam's position. And when God created Adam and Eve, he came to Adam and Eve because you have leadership, you have dominion over this earth, of all the animals, of all the fish of the sea. This is yours to rule. Now, Satan can't come back and up and down in heaven. Things have to change in the past, but this is when you say, as long as you have one person that's connected to the living God and the power of the living God, there is no devil in Christ that can have authority over him. For God said, I keep him safe. He says, there is no one that can keep him. He says, a perfect enough that he is. One that fears God and fears him. He says, one that fears me and he will get to you. This is what God is saying. There is one that fears me and he will get to you. And he says, I think the Lord said, have you not made a good about him and about it? And about all that he has in your desire, you bless the work of his hands and the substance of his feet to raise it. This is Mr. the favorite of you. This is true. You still just can't do that, man, or I can't really get to him. I can't think of that. And such a baby, so it's already conceived. Only a coming step is conceived. The saving of death from the presence of the devil. He left. He left. He put his hand in the grave and gave it to us. I wonder. even though Job was deprived of his wealth. Who was it that told Job? Satan left the way he did it. Who sold his livestock and gave his servants? Satan did. Who brought the tornado that destroyed his children? Satan did. The Lord may allow difficulties to come and touch our lives in love, but Satan is the one responsible for all the evil on this planet. He is the one that is going to put you in the world. He is the one that is going to put you in the world. He is the one that is going to put you in the world. He is the one that is responsible for all the evil on this world. In this world. So you and I are caught up in the middle of this process. This drama. This conflict between good and evil. Lawlessness and authority between Christ and Satan. And we're not expecting to do this. This is one of the wonderful things that we have to really get our understanding and mind around. We are involved in this battle, whether we like to do it or not. We are going to be on one side or the other. There is no neutral ground. There is no neutral ground. You're either on one side or the other. You can say, well, I'm not participating. You are by default participating because you are a good person. All people on earth participate. And the idea that change is only some kind of a myth or some kind of thing. Even though the devil is He does the best job that he can in trying to destroy God's people. The God of creation has always had a plan for you to be who he can be. Jesus is going to die to the kind of connection to give himself so that we could be delivered from the strategy of this fear, so that we did not have to fall under the punishment of sin. He gave himself for the reason. God refused to be without us. He refused to be without us. The man that he created, even though he said he still understands who he is, he
we can come to that
but that life happens to be a shock. The Lord is good on the action, but he's
the only way to do this is to
Thank you.